Psalms 46, verse 10. Look at the person next to you when you have it and say, oh, yeah. Now look at the other person and say, oh, that's it's going to be a word tonight. The scripture alone is one of those like, boom. Come on, somebody. Psalms 46, verse 10, the Bible says this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among all the nations, and I will be exalted in all the earth. So this evening, I simply want to talk to you about being still and knowing that He is God. You know, today we live in a time where most people are very independent. We are living in a time where most people are independent from God. There are a lot of people that believe in God, but live an independent lifestyle. Kind of like our children. Our children want to be independent, but then they need us. Come on, somebody. Right? Those of you who have little ones, you know that you try to help them put on their shoes. No, let me do it. I'm like, I gotta go. You're taking like 5 minutes to tie a shoe. I need to go. Put your shoe on. Come on, somebody. No, let me. I want to do myself, right? Like our children know that they need us, yet they still want to act like they don't. Sometimes they may not say it, but it's seen in their actions. Now, independence isn't a bad thing. I think it's good for somebody to be independent. But where I think we as God's people need to be very careful, we need to be careful that what we've gone through in the past doesn't shape how we approach God. Let me explain. Our past experiences have a way of building walls to protect who we are and how we approach relationships. What we've gone through in the past has a way of shaping our perspective. And sometimes, if we don't deal with our past, or we're unwilling to resolve conflict, we will look at every situation with a negative lens. You know, it's human nature to try and dictate the outcome of every situation. One of the benefits of believing in God is that you and I don't have to try to maintain control. If anything, you have to understand it's okay to put your hands down. It's okay to admit that you don't have the answer. It's okay to drop on your knees and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need you to show me. Because the Bible says that in our weakness, His power is made great. So when you're at your lowest point, that's when God is able to shine. But sometimes, because of our independence, we want to show the world we know how to get by. We want to show the world that we're going to change on our own. We want everybody to know that we are doing something about our lives. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can become a product of our environment. And the world today is independent from God. You know, one of the greatest strongholds of man today is their need to feel like they are in control. Now, I want to give you the definition of what it means to be in control. This is pretty interesting. Control is this. It's the power to influence or direct people's behavior or the course of events. It's to hold in check. It's the act or power of controlling an outcome. Sometimes when we come into the house of God, we try to control and dictate the outcome. But listen, this evening you have to know that God already has a plan set out for your life. God is able to restore every broken relationship. God has a way of turning everything that the devil meant for bad for good. See, the Word of God teaches us that we don't always have to be in control of our situations, but that we can put our trust in God, and when we put our trust in God, God can go to work. The scripture we just read tells us two things. The first thing it says, be still, and secondly it says, know that I am God. What does it mean to be still? This is what it actually means biblically. Be still comes from a Hebrew term called Rapha, and it refers to what, to that which is relaxed, or it means to let down your guard. It means to come to a place where you are weak in dependence of someone else. To be still means to remain in place or to be at rest. So when the scripture says, be still and know that I am God, in other words, God is saying, you don't have to fight. You just have to be relaxed. You just have to let me embed you with my peace. Let me love on you, because everything I already have control. Now, for some of you, that's good news, because you've been fighting. You have been trying to keep your family afloat. You are trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to get ahead? And God says, be still and know that I am God. I have a plan for your life. I will protect your family, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will go before you. I will level the mountains. You don't have to worry. All you have to know is learn to be still. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But if you're anything like me, come on, somebody, I do everything but be still. Amen. I'm what you call hard-headed. Come on, don't look at me like that. Some of you are hard-headed too. Come on. Some of you got, come on now. It's like sometimes I'm like trying to figure things out, and then finally I'm like, man, it's not going my way anyways, and I just sit there, and I'm like, all right, God, fine. And then God goes to work. I think that in order for us to go to the next level, we're going to have to learn to be still. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Most people, listen to me, they only allow God to be God in their lives sometimes or when it's convenient. Some people will only allow God to be God in their lives when it's convenient or they know the next step. But God says, no, 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 it doesn't work like that. What God desires is that we allow him to be God all the time. Because when he's God all the time, he can go to work. But you know what it's like? It's like you having a covering. God being like a bulldozer, going and weeding out everything in front of you, but the minute you take control, it's like you turn off the car and you want to go ahead and do the work yourself. God says you don't have to fight on your own. You don't have to struggle all by yourself, but God is ready and willing to go ahead of you. You know, last night when I fell asleep and I woke up, I began to think about our church, and I began to think of some of you. And the Lord started showing me that there are some of you, God's cutting off your supply. For some of you, God is shutting doors. For some of you, you feel backed against the wall. Just kind of wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. And God is saying, I just need you to be still, because your blessing is right around the corner. See, this is an important principle to learn. And listen, pursue to learn this principle now. Because sometimes this principle is learned over a number of events. And sometimes it's hard and we're forced into being still, where God literally has to hold us down. But God just wants to be God in your life. You know that our God likes to, this may sound bad, but it's not. God likes to show off. Come on, somebody. He wants to show you his power. He wants to show you what's possible. But he can't do that if you want to drive the car. God says, you can be co-pilot, but let me drive. I want you to see what I have for your life. Be still. Second thing it says, know that I am God. Now, this is a little bit interesting because, you know, I started asking myself, well, of course I know that he's God. What does that mean? What was God asking, or what was he commanding when he said, trust that he is? See, the biblical definition to know is this. It's to grasp as beyond, to grasp as true beyond doubt and to have certainty. That's what it means to know that he is. In other words, when you know that he is, you grasp it to be true beyond any doubt and to have complete certainty. Now, this is where it gets tough, because sometimes we can be in situations where everything's uncertain, right? Relationships can be uncertain, right? Our relationship with people in our family sometimes can be jobs nowadays, there's an uncertainty. We are unsure of what's going to happen tomorrow. We live in a world of uncertainty and doubt, but we as God's people cannot allow doubt or uncertainty to keep us from going forward, because God is not always going to give you the plan. He might just ask you to jump first, and in jumping in, God will give you the plan. But for some, we're like, God, until you show me the next step, I'm not going forward. And God says, then we ain't going nowhere. Sometimes we're trying to dictate, well, God, I need to know. I know you have a call in my life, and I know you want me to preach, but I'm not going to do it until you show me. God says, all right, I got all the time in the world. And sometimes, because we can be stubborn. Oh, that's a tough word, huh? How many are stubborn? Just kind of wave at me. I could be stubborn. Hello. You know what the definition to be stubborn is? To be stiff-necked, unbendable. When it comes to the call of God, listen, we can't be stubborn. We can't be stiff-necked. We can't be like, God, I'm not going to bend for you. We have to come to a place where we say, God, I want you, and I'm willing to bend in any which way you desire so that you can mold and shape me into the man and woman of God you've called me to be. We live in a world of uncertainty and doubt. The bad part is that many don't trust that he is or that he's able to because of a number of reasons. I'm going to give you a number of reasons why people tend to not trust God. Number one, they battle doubt. They have this fear in their heart that everything's going to go wrong. Number two, people don't trust God because of their past experiences. Number three, they don't know God. To know God. In other words, they don't know of his love. They don't know of his peace. To experience the peace of God. Listen, the Bible says that peace I leave you, peace I give you, I do not give as the world give. In other words, when Jesus came into the earth's atmosphere, the Bible says a certain peace entered into the earth that only came through Christ. So that when he left a peace that surpasses all understanding that cannot come from human wisdom. It only comes from knowing who God is. And sometimes when you're still is when you experience the peace of God, even when all hell is breaking loose, even when everything is going wrong around you, you can be still and God will cover you in peace. See, God desires that you not only know his peace, but that you know his love. We got to go deeper. Someone say we got to go deeper. Another reason people don't trust God, we are unwilling to give up control. A lot of people don't trust God because they're just simply unwilling to give up what they have going for themselves. And listen, when God calls man to do great things, sometimes he might ask you to sacrifice certain things that are dear to your heart. But know this, the Bible says, for anyone that sacrifices his life will gain it in the age to come. You got to know that whatever you give up now, God will give you double for your trouble. In other words, you let go today, our God is not a God that will be in debt to any man. God will bless you over and beyond what you ever thought possible, but you have to be willing to let certain things go. And lastly, a lot of people don't trust God because they've always had to fend for themselves. They've always had to fight for themselves. They never had anybody they can completely trust. People always let them down. Therefore, they live with a lifestyle that everyone's against them, or they're guarded in their relationships. So it's hard for them to advance because they're unsure when the next person is going to let them down. Just wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. When I came into the church, my heart was broken so many times. I had friends that said they would be there that were no longer there. I had a father who would say certain things and never would come through. And therefore, it kind of shaped my heart. There were things that were told to me as a young man that kind of shaped the way that my mind worked. And I didn't think I was going to be much. But thank God there was somebody that answered the call to go into the dark places to give young men hope like myself. That's why, like, when we go out this Saturday, don't think of yourself to be insignificant. You can be used of God to do great things. God wants to use your life. Some of you have been through some stuff. I'm talking about some things, man. You got to know that God's going to use everything you've been through to help somebody else. There are some of you, some of the stuff you've gone through is not fair. And I sympathize with you. Some of you, sometimes I look into your eyes and I can just see it. Know this, God is healing your heart. It's not going to be easy, but you got to allow those things to come out, because the day is going to come where you will be rewarded, where you can sit down and talk to somebody who's in a pit and they don't know how to get out. You know, there was a story I once heard of a man who got thrown in a pit and he was unable to get out. And the pit was so deep that about five men came. Hey, I'll be back. No, don't leave me. I'll be back. Let me go get help. The person left, never came back. The second man came and said, how did you get down there? He said, man, I made some bad decisions. And one thing led to another, and it felt like the hole kept getting deeper. Well, okay, I know somebody that could probably help you get out. He left. This man came back. I'm sorry I couldn't find the man who once got out, but let me go try to find somebody else. The next man came. And he looked down. He said, what are you doing down there? And he said, there are some decisions I've made in my life, and I don't know how to get out. And he said, all right, get back. Make way. The man began to run and he jumped, and the man inside the hole said, no, don't get in here. We're both going to be stuck. And when he fell to the ground, he said, no, don't worry. I've been in this hole. I've already gotten out. I'm here to show you a different way. You don't have to be down. We can get out together. Some of you live that lifestyle because of what you've been in, because you were down and out, because you lost all hope and you knew what it was to be revived in the spirit. You knew what it was to get back and fight again. You're going to be able to help people get out of their pit, but you got to come to a place where you're willing to fight for your family. You're willing to fight for your future. Don't bow down to the devil. Don't bow down to your situation. You got to come to grips that you are important, that you are valuable, that God loves you, and that there's a plan for your life. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is forgive ourselves for what we've done. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. God will love on you. God is able to forgive you. Man might not, but God has the ability to change the hearts of man. See, God's desire is that we trust him. Listen to me, you got to catch this. God's desire is that we trust him even when the outcome is not favorable. Can you trust him even if the outcome is unfavorable? Because there are some people that put limits on God. Well, God, I'm going to trust you. But what if it doesn't go in your favor? What if God doesn't answer you in your timetable? Will we still go forward? Because to know that he is, is to trust him when things are bad and when things are good. Knowing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's given you a promise, you can hold on to that promise, because it's not a matter of if, but of when God will come through. Psalms 37:5 says this, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the just of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. See, patience is like a modern-day cuss word. Come on, somebody. We want everything now, right? We want everything now. Come on, right? What food industry is booming right now? Everything microwavable. Statistics show that people were a lot thinner back in the day when you had to cook some food. Come on, somebody. But nowadays, you got a microwave. You can pop that puppy in 2-3 minutes later. And if you're hungry, you can go 3 more minutes. Come on, somebody. But when you had to cook a meal, right, it took preparation. That meant you had to cook. So therefore, there were a lot of lazy people that opted not to cook. Come on, somebody. What kind of Christian or what kind of believer do you want to be? Do you want to be a microwavable type Christian that gives unauthentic taste? Come on, somebody. Or do you want to be the type of meal that took preparation? See, some of you, you're in the shadow of God's hand. Inside you know he's called you, but God says, right now I have you in the shadow of my hand. You're not ready right now. You're at a place where I need to hide you from everyone else. I got some things I got to deal inside of you, because what I've called you to, you got to let those things be worked out. Because when I call you to do the will of God, you will have a firm foundation that will be unshaken. Sadly, there are some who, with their lips, they say, I'm committed to God and his ways, but their heart and their actions are far from him. We got to live a holy life, guys. We can't play with God. And sometimes it's like that. Like, we want to serve God our way. The people in the Bible in the Old Testament did it their way. And what did God say? I don't know. You know where the scripture's at, where he said, don't worship me the way they worship their gods. In other words, we can't worship the way the world worships. This world lives in compromise. What kind of anointing, what kind of spirit do you want on your life? We got to get to a place where we're not compromising anymore, where we're one person at home and we're the same person at church. But sometimes we're one person at home or one person at our job, but we're different at church. Now, I'm not here to condemn, but I'm here to tell you the truth. We got to be people that are the same. We got to exercise self-control. We got to learn to endure patiently. We got to learn to say no to peer pressure. You know, I got family down in California that I go and visit. They smoke weed. They drink. They're off the hook. Come on, somebody. Now, me being a pastor, I'm not too good to hang out with my family. I'll hang out with them. I will. What I won't do is partake in their behavior. I won't do it. I have come too far. I know, listen, and even when I walked with God, it's been 16 years, but I'll tell you, the first few years of my Christianity, it wasn't easy. As a matter of fact, I think the whole first year of my Christianity, I was smoking weed. Had a blunt every all the time. Come on, somebody. I was going to youth ministry high, and I thought it was okay. But I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know. I didn't know that my body was a temple of the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand that I had to take care of my body. I didn't understand that. I felt like, well, this, you know, what's the big deal? And today you have people, I mean, it's just nonchalant. It's not a big deal. Yeah, they'll talk to somebody about Jesus, but they'll just do their own thing on the side. Listen, God wants to move in your life, but understand this truth about God. God cannot defile his character. In other words, his character says that I can have nothing to do with darkness. Therefore, God can't bless a mess. God can't bless sin. God can't bless us if we're doing things that we know are wrong. Ooh, it is quiet in here, boy. The basis of the message is simple. Some of you got to get to a place where you're still. You just got to be still already. And second, you got to know that he's God. You don't have to be in control. Don't try to dictate the outcome of your household. If you do, listen to me. Listen to me. It will backfire on you. Husband, you can't try to control your wife. Wife, you can't manipulate and try to control him. Sometimes this happens,
And then we come and we lift our hands in the church. But we can't get beyond our relationships. We have to learn to be still. There are times me and my wife, we argue, and I can't change her. She can't change me. And you know what she does? She'll go and pray. And she'll let God speak to my heart. Some of you got to, by faith, be still. Trust that God is. Some of you have children that you don't know. Man, they're out there and you're afraid for their lives. You got to be still and know that He is God. God will work all things out. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says this: remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. You know when he said, remember the former things? Do you know that he was speaking about the miracles that he did? He was talking about the Red Sea that he parted. He was talking about the healings that he did. In other words, he tells us today, remember the miracles of past, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I will make known the end from the beginning. In other words, some of you, you're still searching out the plan. God says, I will make the end known to you. You just got to be still. You just got to get to a place where you trust me, and I will map out the course. Doors will fly open for you. There will be a favor so thick on your life, other people won't understand it. God will provide for you financially. God will bless your heart. God will give you peace that surpasses all understanding and lay out a path so that you can live a life that fulfills His glory. Isaiah 46, 11 says this: from the east I summon a bird and pray. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. From a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. God is looking for men and women who would fulfill the purposes of God. We are living in a time where people are dying. Listen to me. People are dying. Our children are dying. Drug addict children are popping up all over the place. You and I need to take a stand. You and I need to fight for our families. We need to fight for our children, our children's children. If we don't lay the right foundation now, our children will be doomed. But it's my prayer that in years to come, somebody will say, listen, I remember my grandmother. Come on, somebody. I remember she stood up. I think it was back in 1990. She stood up, and because of her faith, come on, somebody, in 2016, come on, somebody, my uncle took a stand for Jesus, and because of that, here we are in 2050. We now are pastors, come on, somebody, because someone in our family took a step of faith. And this evening, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I think the point was made. God just wants to be God in our life. God wants to be a God that can move, but He can't move if we try to maintain control. Isaiah 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would just ask you to search your heart tonight. Let God love on you. Let Him take full control. There are some of you, you're hurting. I simply came tonight to tell you that God wants to move in your situation, that he loves you. There are a few people, you're in here and you feel worthless. God wants you to know that you mean something, that you are valuable, that he has a plan for your life. And this is what we're going to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, right there in your seat, just begin to search your heart. Are there situations that you're facing right now that you don't have control over? Maybe you're at a place you don't know what to do. And you say, I need the Lord. I need God. I need him to intervene on my behalf. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just lift your hand and quickly put it down. I'm not going to make you come up here tonight. But if you need God to move in your situation, right there in your seat.